Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly. It is a Friday afternoon on WBEN. We're watching the weather, but we have a special guest joining us in this segment of the program. Very, very funny gentleman. Mike Young has been out on the stand-up circuit for a good number of years now and has also given us not one, not two, not three, but four movies. We're going to talk about the brand new one. But before we do, Mike, I know you're out on tour now. Who's out there with you?
Luke Knoll, who's actually starring in Stealing Jokes in the new movie. He was on SNL for a year, one of the funniest guys in the game. So happy that I casted him, so happy that I met him, and I've been watching him rock crowds all over the country. So Luke Knoll and James Davis, another guy who's super hilarious.
And I want to talk a little bit about that friendship between you and Luke Knoll. Tell me about it. I mean, did you guys just meet out on the circuit?
No, the funniest is I never even saw him on SNL when he was on. He was on SNL for a year. I never watched him. He auditioned for Stealing Jokes, and I'd never heard of him. So he auditioned for Stealing Jokes against Matt Rife, against all these other comedians. And he was so funny that I just was like, dude, who are you? Where are you from? He's like, yeah, they fired me from SNL. I'm out here trying to do stand-up. Da, da, da. Next thing I know, boom, I put him in the movie. He did an amazing job. And here we are. I took him on tour, and he's going to do a bunch of cities with the Rock Comedy Tour.
Outstanding.
And it's great hanging out with him because I got to direct him, and we've become friends since then.
Yeah, and that's very cool to see that. But see, and I've talked about this. I know everybody who's listening is probably like, oh, here it comes again. I have never been in the comedy world, but I mean, everybody that I know, almost to a man who has been involved in stand-up comedy talks about what a brotherhood it is. That it's like it takes a little while to crack it, but once you do, once you're in, and you guys protect each other, you help each other out. It's this bizarre world, and part of this is what goes into the movie Stealing Jokes as well. But talk about that. Talk about what it's like out on the circuit and how you guys help each other out.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that because we were just talking about this yesterday. I was working with Steve Trevino in Boston, and we were talking about how it's such a fraternity and a brotherhood of comedians that we won't even be friends with people if they're not funny.
Right.
We all came up at the Comedy Store, and there's like this crazy fraternity brotherhood thing going on there where it's like, yeah, if you're not funny, you just can't even hang out. But you got to have each other's back. You know what I mean? You have to have each other's back in this world. It's too tough of a, it's a tough racket. You know what I mean? So when somebody pops or somebody makes it, like, you know, I used to be on tour with Sebastian, and when he hit it big, he started bringing a couple of his friends on tour with him. And so you got to kind of look out for each other in this game. You know, it's too crazy of a game not to.
Well, that's really funny because he's usually the example that I bring up is Sebastian because of what he does and how, you know, he's all the time looking for new talent to bring up and help out. So that's cool. And that actually leads us into talking a little bit about the movie because Stealing Jokes, it's dealing with the comedy world, but really you could apply this to any art form across the board. Bring us into the plot a little bit. What happens in Stealing Jokes?
By the way, thank you for saying that because you actually totally get what it is. So Stealing Jokes is like Ocean's 11 for comedians. They go on the road, they get stiffed by a club owner, they rob the club, which is basically every comedian's dream, is to eventually have to rob a club that doesn't pay them properly. And this goes for any artist, any musician, any independent artist coming up who's ever had to deal with, you know, sometimes there's shady club promoters in the world and they won't pay you properly. And so in this movie, they get their revenge, but they also rob the wrong guy. They rob, you know, Michael Rappaport plays the club owner. They rob Rappaport. They got to get him his money back because he's a bad guy. So, you know, the sentiment is there though. The sentiment of come on, man, we're out here, you know what I mean, waving in the wind, no real security, no real protection, and telling jokes, you know what I mean, trying to make the world a better place. Give us our money. And so the sentiment came across, and it becomes a crazy, funny heist film.
All right. Now we've got to talk a little bit about Rappaport as well, because he is, first of all, everybody's favorite guy. I mean, everybody absolutely loves this dude. We've been lucky enough to have him here with us a couple of times. He's brilliantly funny. And there's just something about him. I mean, seeing him on screen, and he's done drama and he's done comedy. He's done a whole bunch of different stuff. I don't know what it is about this guy. It's like talent just pours out of him. And how did you end up with him in this one as well? I mean, casting him is the obvious choice. Did it take any talking to get him to do it?
It took a little bit of talking and a bag of cash.
I had a boy. Tell it like it is.
No, but the truth is, Rappaport did my first movie, My Man is a Loser. So this is, you know, I wrote and directed a movie called My Man is a Loser. Rappaport starred in it with John Stamos. We became friends from that movie. And anytime I've done a project, Rappaport's literally like my first phone call. He's so talented. He can do drama. He can do comedy. He's super professional. And you know, he just kills it. He gives 110% every time he comes. And we've developed a good friendship over the years. And it's funny because people, they think like we talk alike. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know. They think we kind of sound alike. We get the same, you know, fake street vibe. You know what I mean? Two dudes that fake like they grew up in the street. But, you know, he's just one of my favorite people to work with.
Yeah.
And I call him every time. And it's always the same conversation. Send me the script. All right. Oh, this is funny. I'm in.
Well, see,
let's do it.
The way you're talking about it, it makes it sound so easy. So, you know, that's also a world that so many people strive to be a part of, is getting into movie making and doing that kind of thing. And yet it's an incredibly difficult thing to crack. So, you know, you've been out there as a stand-up. You've talked about the struggles, you know, the going on in that world, and making a movie out of it is the perfect thing to do. But just even getting to make a movie, that's not an easy thing. How did you break into that?
No, it's probably why my hair thinned over the last couple of years. It is stressful, but I've always been a writer. You know, I've always loved writing. I've always loved writing stories, even back in college. And so I wrote my first script, My Man is a Loser, and some producers out of New York read the script, loved it, and said, hey, we want to make this movie, but we have to find a director. And super quickly, I went and I read, this is going to sound crazy, but I read Playboy Book of Directors, where they interview all these big directors. And I noticed a lot of them were from the world of stand-up, and they didn't go to film school. So I called them back and I said, I promise you I can direct this movie. I promise. They believed me. I directed My Man is a Loser as my first film. And from there, now I'm on my fourth movie, but really I took a leap of faith on myself and I just studied as fast as I could. And obviously there's no better way to learn than on set. And I learned a ton. And so, you know, they let me write and direct, you know, my next three movies. But it's never easy making a movie. You feel like you're going to, you know, you're going to like camp. But a camp that wears you out. Like when the movie's over, you lost 20 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? You look half homeless. You don't know what's going on. it is a big feat. You know what I mean? But it is super satisfying when you make something that you think is good. And so I'm super happy with Stealing Jokes. And Stealing Jokes came about, I was actually starting to make it in LA, and I called, you know, Dan Gilbert, who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers, Rocket Mortgage. He financed one of the movies I had done. So I actually had called Dan while I was going down the line to make Stealing Jokes with a guy I wasn't really vibing with. I said, hey man, do you still want to make projects in Detroit? He said, absolutely. He said, send me the script. I sent him the script, and a week later he sent me a text and said, let's make the movie.
Wow.
And so Dan, he actually financed the movie, produced the movie with me, and let me, you know, basically live out a dream shooting a movie in my hometown, because I'm from Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just love the nature of that. It's just like, just bang on doors. If it's your dream and you know that it's going to be you, you know, it's going to be where you want to be. You have to keep banging on doors in order to get somebody to finally open up and listen to you. That's it. I love the way all that came together for you.
Thank you. That's exactly what it is. When it's burning in you and you know this is just what you want to do, what you're meant to do, what makes you happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also don't have the ability to hold down a 9-to-5 job, you know that this is what you have to do, and you just keep going, you just keep pushing until you get it done. And that's kind of the spirit that I've been living by.
Yeah, well, you have to. And hang on for us for just a second. Again, we're talking with Mike Young. Mike Young is the man behind the brand new movie, Stealing Jokes. And again, out on comedy tour as well, almost constantly. I mean, that's what he does. So a really, really funny dude. And the movie itself is absolutely charming and wonderful. So we'll tell you where you can see it and how you can find Stealing Jokes here in just a couple of minutes as we continue our conversation with Mike Young. Continuing on, John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly. And unfortunately, Mike Young, we lost his cell. So he is unable to continue with us, but did want us to let you know that that brand new movie we were just talking about, Stealing Jokes, is out on every video streaming platform. It's on Apple TV. It's on Amazon. It's wherever you stream movies, you can find it. Again, it's called Stealing Jokes. And watch for him out on the circuit, too, because, again, always travels with such really, really funny human beings. So make sure you watch for the name Mike Young. A couple of things to tell you about before we get to the bottom of the hour. And this one, every time this happens, I think of every experience that I've ever had at an airport, and how after September 11, 2001, everything changed dramatically, and we had the TSA, and you got to bring every document in the world, and just it's crazy just even trying to get on a plane anymore. And for obvious reasons, I mean, we learned what it's like when you don't do that. So we've all kind of gotten used to it. But that means that when something goes wrong with that system, it baffles me. And it did again. A woman was able to get on a flight at JFK. So it's not like this is some podunk little airport in the middle of nowhere. I'll tell you about the airport in Salisbury, Maryland here in just a minute. But this woman got on board a flight from New York City to Paris, going from JFK to Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris without having a ticket, without going through security, without any of that. Because, I mean, you know, if you've flown recently, you have to have a ticket to even get into the security area. So it's not like it used to be where you could just walk back there, you know, and take all your friends to the plane and all that stuff. You have to have ID on you. You have to have a ticket on you. So somehow this woman bypassed two levels of security, never was checked by the TSA, and got into the secure area at JFK International Airport, and then got on a plane without a ticket. Now, we don't know yet. The one question that I'm sure you have, which is, how did she do all of that? Well, here's the thing. Not only do we not know, we're probably not ever going to know, because the last thing they want to do is, if somebody successfully stows away on an airplane, they don't want that blueprint out there, you know, so that the next person can do it as well. So they tend to be a little tight-lipped about these things and how they end up going down. But what I can tell you is how she got caught. And she got caught because she was not terribly bright. Now, I say that advisedly, given the fact that she was able to get past security and get onto the plane, but they didn't even notice. They were almost in Paris. They had almost landed by the time anybody got wind that something might be wrong. So the way it went down is, all of a sudden, passengers on the plane started noticing that the flight attendants, about 20 minutes before they landed, all of their pagers started going off, and they're getting messages all over the place. And the flight attendants are looking around like something's going, something, you know, something's up, and you just know what that feels like. So they land the plane. Pilot gets on the little intercom and says, "This is your captain speaking," and it does the whole spiel about how everybody needs to stay in their seats because the police are going to be coming on board the plane after they open the doors. So stay in your seats. And sure enough, the police come in and they take this woman away. She's now in jail in Paris, awaiting who knows what, some kind of charging documents or whatever. And the reason that they found out she was there is because, instead of just taking a seat, which probably would have been okay, even though she didn't have a ticket. I mean, you know, once the plane gets off the ground, nobody pays any attention to anything as long as you're not causing trouble. So she decided to go from one bathroom to another throughout this entire flight. And flying from New York to Paris takes a long time. That's hours and hours in the air. So she figured that if she took a seat, they would notice her. And so she didn't. But eventually they figured out, well, why is this woman keep going from one bathroom to another? They got suspicious and did a head count and went, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're one passenger heavy on this thing, and didn't figure it out until 20 minutes outside of Paris. So just when we thought airport security was actually really good at their jobs, this happens. I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. We'll do some more talking right after the bottom of the hour news. Stay with us. John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly on a Friday afternoon post-Thanksgiving on WBEN. Getting in rapidly toward the 6 o'clock hour. John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly on this Friday afternoon. Glad to have you along for the ride. And if you were here right back, way back at the beginning of the program, you heard the voice of WBEN's very own Joe Beamer talking about his trip down the I-90 a little bit earlier today. And as I understand it, Joe, that trip's still going on. Where are you?
Yeah, we are at the Ripley exit. We've been here for a little over 90 minutes. Complete standstill, John, until about 10 minutes ago. We finally, people started moving up the Ripley exit to get off and go to Route 5. That's our plan. But, you know, when originally our arrival time in Summersville, West Virginia was 7:30. Needless to say, that's not happening.
Yeah, it's going to be a little later than that, unfortunately. So tell us, first of all, in addition to the fact that traffic is moving again, which is great to hear, give us the weather report. What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, snow's still coming down. I would say this, John, and this, again, it was, you know, when we first stopped, whiteout conditions. Now, the wind's has not been a factor, and I think that's really helped be able to clean some things up on down the road. Right now, you've got snow still falling. Obviously, the road hasn't been touched by a plow because we've been sitting on it. But for 90 minutes, this thing did not move at all. And by moving, I mean, you know, we're crawling to the Ripley exit. We still have a little bit of a ways before we're actually on the ramp, but that's the most movement we've had in over 90 minutes. And like I said, right now, the weather's the best it's been since I've been at the since we got past Hamburg. So the weather has settled a little bit. But if you're listening to this and you're anywhere near the 90, there's a reason it's closed. And I would say off it, let them clean it up. Let them, you know, treat it, because right now, like I said, this portion of the 90, John, has not been touched by a plow.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard it during the bottom of the hour news, but now that closure of the 90 goes all the way back to Hamburg, which is just, I mean, given what we were dealing with only a couple of hours ago, that's quite a large chunk of the 90 that's shut down right now. So now you kind of alluded to this a minute ago. So you're getting off at the Ripley exit. You're going to try and take the state roads and the back roads and get to where you're going. How tricky is that going to be? Do you have any idea what you might be driving into at this point?
That's the thing, John. It is a big question mark because, you know, we go down for every Virginia Tech game. This is the only route we know. So these back roads, it'll be interesting. It'll be an adventure.
I've had that adventure before on the 219 through Bradford. And let me tell you something, it can get absolutely ugly, as I'm sure you know. So, when is the game, by the way?
The game's not till tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right. So you've still got plenty of time. Even if it takes you a while to get there, you're still not going to miss. You're not going to miss kickoff.
No. We can sleep in. No, we're good. Now, John, here's the tricky part. Here's the thing. And the listeners will know this because I talked about it on Wednesday. I'm also planning to be in Orchard Park by 8 o'clock Sunday. So we could have another adventure Sunday afternoon.
Oh, man. I want to take, you know, all right, since you brought it up, we've got to talk a little bit about that game. I mean, I'm sitting here on pins and needles going, okay, this is the first time since 1988 that we will have a chance to shut the door on the division in week 12. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's great. And yet, I mean, there's always that little bit of nagging. I'm a Bills fan. I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. What are you looking at for Sunday night?
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, the Niners are not the team we thought they were, right? They're pretty beat up.
They're also hurt. Yeah.
Weather, Yeah, I mean they're beat up. I mean they're a good team when they're healthy. They will not be healthy on Sunday night. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm all about getting the division because John, that number one seed is still what they're fighting for. So I feel like even with a win Sunday, they are going to play their best football, especially in 2 weeks against Detroit. Because let's be honest, that could be a preview of the Super Bowl. But I'm expecting a 2 or 3 possession win on Sunday. Again, don't take anything away from obviously the running game with McCaffrey. But I think the Bills are the better team with how the team stand now, and I think we'll be have flashing that big AFC champions graphic on the Jumbotron at Highmark Stadium.
Man, I can't wait. And I'll tell you what, I hate to give any false hope, and I hope that's not what I'm doing right now, but it is worth noting, you mentioned that number one seed, that the Las Vegas Raiders are now 1 point up on the Kansas City Chiefs in the fourth quarter. Now, 1 point against Patrick Mahomes isn't worth very much, but it's better than being a point behind.
Yeah, but the way the Chiefs are playing, Mahomes is looking at it going, we got you right where we want you.
Yeah, I know. Didn't Sean McDermott learn his lesson and show that a couple of weeks back? So, yeah, we know what that's all about as well. But, certainly it's going to be a great time. What are you looking for out of the game tomorrow night?
Well, I'm hoping that the Hokies, what's been a very disappointing season. I mean, you know, there were many that had them picked to go to the playoffs. So a cap on a disappointing season. But it would be nice to get that bowl bid and stop our rival from getting a bowl bid.
You got it, my friend. Well, listen, best of luck with the travels for the rest of your journey. I know it's going to be a little bit hairy, but keep us apprised. I mean, let us know if you run into something once you finally do get off the 90. If you run into something that's worth mentioning, by all means, do give us a call back before the top of the hour.
Will do, John. Great talking with you.
You got it. Joe Beamer, thank you so much for checking in on the program this afternoon. And as we make our way through some of the weirder news of the day, boy, have I got a bunch of stories stacked up now because we've been all over the place. But where are we going to start with this one? Oh, here's one for you. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, and you know this is the biggest travel weekend of the year. I mean, Sunday's going to be crazy. Sunday's going to be crazy around here anyway, but throughout the rest of the country, right now, we're not the only ones having bad weather. And of all places, by the way, I saw a thing this morning. Check this out. I saw an article this morning that alluded to the Thanksgiving holiday travel and how bad the snow was messing things up in Korea. I swear. I was like, wait, you guys are aware they don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Korea? Last time I checked, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's kind of our holiday. But leading into that, with 30 million people expected to fly during the Thanksgiving holiday, they had not one but two plane collisions on Thanksgiving Day at Logan International Airport in Boston. First incident happened when an American Airlines flight clipped the wing of a Frontier Airlines plane. And let me see if we can find the details on the second one. The 200 passengers on the Frontier flight to Texas had to rebook. So all kinds of fun there. And yeah, two collisions leading up to Thanksgiving. So in Boston, even the airplanes are jerks. Just so as you know, in case you were wondering, yes, it's absolutely true. We also had a little problem in Clarksville, Tennessee, where they were doing something. And this is another thing. We have to retire this. This has to go away. They were doing an active shooter training drill. Can we just stop, please? I mean, look, if you want to do emergency drills, fine. But so many times these things have gone wrong when, first of all, who would have ever thought that we would have to do this? But there are all, we used to do fire drills when I was in school. So if you want to do emergency drills, fine. That's okay. You don't necessarily have to connect them to the idea of an active shooter. It's like, let's terrorize everybody. And there have been incidents in the past where they actually have people, you know, walking up and down the hallways, firing blanks. This happened one time, and this was probably about a year and a half or 2 years ago, where the kids weren't there. They were doing this for the faculty. And I believe this was also a school in Tennessee, as a matter of fact. I'll tell you what happened just recently in Tennessee in a second. But they were doing one of these things, and they said, okay, we're going to have all of the teachers there and all of the administrators there, but the kids won't be. And we'll have somebody come in and play the role of the active shooter. And they've got a gun on them and they're firing blanks up and down the hallways so people would know what that sounds like and all of that. The one thing they failed to do was notify the police that they were doing this. So, yeah, all of a sudden the cops start getting phone calls from people who live next to the school saying there's shots being fired at the school. And the cops go in and they show up with the SWAT team and all of that stuff. And it was all a big misunderstanding. So fast forward to now, and in Clarksville, Tennessee, they were doing another active shooter drill and they screwed up and grabbed the wrong script. See, the way they do it there is, and this was at a time when the kids were in school. Okay. So this is, everybody's in class. Everybody's, you know, doing their normal bit during the day. And they have a script that they read during the drills. Then they have another script that they read. And this is the guy that reads it over the intercom. They have another script to read if there is an actual active shooter situation. Guess which script they grabbed? Right. The wrong one. And according to WTVF in Nashville, because Clarksville is Middle Tennessee. That's where Al Gore lives. I don't know why I remember that, but yeah, it's sort of northeast of Nashville a little bit. So according to the parents who were there, they grabbed the wrong script and they said over the intercom, this is not a drill. There is an active shooter in the cafeteria. Needless to say, there was panic. Now, everything worked out okay. They eventually got it all straightened out and got the right script, but they sent home from the school administrators, they got a statement. This morning, we had a pre-planned intruder drill that we do quarterly. During the drill, an administrator used an incorrect script to activate the drill. Again, can we just knock this off? This is not doing anybody any good, and all it's doing is scaring people, and then stupid things like this end up happening, and we have another embarrassed bunch of administrators. We also have a bit of advice for you, and this one comes to us. Where did this one come to us? Out of the Guardian in the UK, where they know a thing or two about drinking. And if you were one of the ones who maybe over imbibed a little bit during Thanksgiving, and maybe you want to kind of dial that back for the Christmas parties and the New Year's Eve celebrations that are coming up, there's a new trend in drinking alcoholic beverages called zebra striping. And I don't know how well this works, but according to the theme, what you do is you drink something with alcohol in it, have a beer, have a glass of champagne, have a glass of wine, whatever, and then follow that with a non-alcoholic drink. And then alcohol, you see the black stripes and the white stripes, like zebras, right? So you do an alcoholic drink, a non-alcoholic drink. Now, why you couldn't just cut your drinking in half? I don't know. I mean, I guess the theory is that you have to have something to drink in your hand at all times. And if you don't, then it's just not good enough. But in case you needed to cut back just a tad, I mean, it's worth a shot, right? And they do recommend that if you are going to drink alcohol, hydrating is not a bad idea. It will not, by the way, keep you from getting a hangover. That's all. So I've been told. I mean, I don't get them. So I'm one of those lucky people. I've never had a hangover in my life. There was a list that came out just a few days ago about ways to avoid hangovers and about myths regarding that. And one of them was, no, drinking water while you're drinking booze will not keep you from getting a hangover the next day. So nice try. It was a good thought, but probably not going to get you where you need to be. Oh, man, 19. We need more degrees than that. I'm sorry. That's nowhere near enough degrees. The snow is going to come. And again, if the farther north you are, just like almost always, the farther north you are in the area, the better off you're going to be. The south towns look like they're going to take the brunt of this, and southern Erie County, certainly. And I thought it was really funny. We were listening to the county executive earlier this hour, and he said, yeah, South Buffalo is not southern Erie County. there is a little bit more before you get to the next ones down. But the farther south you are, the more snow you're likely to get. And any of the areas from Jamestown to Olean, all the way over. And I mean, I know that some of the weather that's going to come out of Canada across Lake Ontario is going to hit central New York State pretty hard too. Watertown's supposed to get it again, because they always do. So keep it here. I mean, just all weekend long, keep it locked on WBEN. You'll get all of the latest from us, and we'll keep you apprised of what happens, if anything, with the Bills game. Do want to bring you a quick update from the NFL, by the way. The Chiefs have indeed retaken the lead. They now lead Las Vegas 19-17. That's with about seven minutes left to go in the game. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Again, lots of potential effect for the Bills going on in that one right now in a divisional matchup that's going on in Kansas City. We'll leave you with a couple of quick ones and go to a guy in Australia. Again, a lot of news coming out of Australia today, but this one was kind of cute. This came out of the Daily Star, where there was a guy who went to his fertility doctor. He and his wife had been trying to have a baby, and it just wasn't happening. They had tried everything, so they figured, okay, well, let's get checked out and make sure that there's nothing physically wrong here. So he went to the doctor, and they never ended up running any tests, because the doctor just asked him, okay, before we get started with all of the testing and everything else, why don't you describe to me your love life? Like, I know you've been trying to get your wife pregnant. What's going on? And he said, well, you know, we just do the deed like we always do. And, you know, we both come from a country that's very serious about mitigating sexually transmitted diseases and sexually transmitted infections. So we always make sure to use a condom. And the fertility doctor went, whoa, 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 time out. you use a what now? And he said, well, condom use, you know, it's important for not spreading disease. So, they're serious about that where we come. And the doctor said, you've really seriously been trying to get your wife pregnant while using a condom. And he said, well, yeah, you know, no. And had to explain to him how that's not how that works. And the man posted online, in what was probably only a few minutes, but some of the longest of my life, the doctor at the clinic explained how condoms work and that we'd been failing to get my wife pregnant because I was wearing one while we did the deed. Yeah, you can't get pregnant. That's kind of the other half of the point of using those. So a little bit embarrassing. Congratulations to a pug named Vito for winning the National Dog Show this year. Why it's never a guy dog, I have no idea. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with pugs, but one of these days, can like a collie or a German shepherd or something win? Some dog that all of us have? Not today, apparently. So congratulations to Vito. And for you, stay safe, stay inside as much as you can, stay off the roads as much as you can, enjoy the game on Sunday night, if they get it in on Sunday night. And again, signs are pointing to that being the case. Stay warm, stay safe, go Bills. Thanks again to Tom Bowerly and to WBEN for letting us have this opportunity to get together today. Pasquale, have yourself a great weekend, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.